All right, kids, now's your chance to leave. Don't miss the opportunity. They gone. We'll know in a minute if they didn't get it. They'll come running back through. Amen. All right. Our last door, we've been going through the doors that we need to close in our life. Amen. And no doubt many have received help. I know I've received some help in the past. And even going back through this, it's such a good study. But the last door that we're going to go through, we went over the door of occult practices last week and the door of secrets. Well, the last door is unhealthy soul ties. And this may be something that some of you have heard of before. And I'll be honest, I had never heard of a soul tie until probably 12 or 13 years ago. But I can tell you this, when I learned about it, I learned that there are healthy soul ties, but there are also very unhealthy soul ties that we can get caught up with in our life if we're not careful. So with that said, let me find my page here. With that said, open your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 124 in verse number 7, and we'll pray and we'll get right into this thing. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to meet with us in a mighty way tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place. As we go through this study over the next couple or 3 weeks, Lord, no doubt we're not going to get done with this tonight. But Lord, I know you have some very important stuff that you would like us to learn. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Lord, married or not married, Lord, that maybe has an unhealthy soul tie in their life or has had an unhealthy soul tie in their life and they've never taken care of it, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to reveal that to them, number one, and then help them, Lord, to understand that they can close the door on those unhealthy relationships, Lord, in their lives, Lord, whether they be present, past, or, Lord, maybe stop some unhealthy relationships in the future. But, Lord, help us also understand there's a very healthy soul tie that we need starting off with a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for that, and, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, Lord, fill me with your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. The book of Psalm chapter 124, verse number 7 says, our soul, notice the word soul, is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Now, we've talked about mind, soul, or body, soul, and spirit. We know our soul has a three-part. What are they? The mind, emotion, and what, church? The will. So you think about that. You think about our mind, emotion, and will is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Now, again, this is the writer talking here, so I'm not talking about myself here. Through the years, the Lord has allowed me to come across different people, just laying some ground here, who seem to have something about them that makes my heart leap when I see them. I was just on the phone with a young man who I met on one of my journeys through Ohio. I was preaching on spiritual warfare at a large summer camp and resort. I enjoyed 2 hours of fellowship with this young man and his wife. I received word this week that he was going to Iraq as a missionary, so I called him. When he heard my voice, I could tell his heart was filled with joy. There are some people I do not feel this closeness to at first, but as I am around them and work with them, my heart begins to knit with theirs. And 35 years of marriage, I am experiencing a stronger bond, or what I prefer to call a soul tie, between my wife and I. What a beautiful link it is to come across people on your journey, on our journey, that we can literally enter into a fellowship with that is rich and real and has a level of intimacy. Now, as we go into this, I'm not just talking about man and woman, you know, soul ties. I'm talking about friendships. You remember Amnon had a friend? His name was Jonadab. And Jonadab led him and encouraged him to do one of the craziest things a man has ever done. He encouraged him to go and be with his own sister. Why? Because you're the king's son. You deserve to be happy. You understand what I'm saying? He had a soul tie with Jonadab and he trusted him. Here's what I'm asking you tonight, church. Is there someone in your life that you trust that maybe you shouldn't just be that close to? I wonder if there's someone in here that you would say, hey, yes, I'm close to a lot of people, and I know some of these people, they do not encourage me in the things of God. Well, can I say, folks, that is an unhealthy soul tie that you need to break. And yes, we are going to get into some intimate soul ties as well. No doubt I'm not the only one here who's got a past that I didn't wish I had. Amen? Amen? Amen. Listen, we all have had them, but here's the dangers of this. If you do not release that soul tie, you know, when you fall in love with someone or you like someone and you do things out of God's will, the Bible's very clear about, and this is why I'm against teenage dating. The Bible says it is good for a man not to what? Touch a woman. Well, listen, if I encourage my son to go out alone with a young lady, what are the chances of him not touching her? And I'm not even talking about inappropriately. I'm talking about holding her hand, maybe giving her a hug and leading to this and that and the other. And you know where it all ends. Amen? Y'all all right? If I protect him up front, we're doing the right thing. But see, he creates an unhealthy soul tie with this young lady. He begins to give pieces of his heart away to her. And she begins to give pieces of her heart away to him. And can I say, listen, their heart belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the young man who thinks he needs her. It doesn't belong to the young lady who thinks that she needs him. Here's how it works. Man and woman are down here. The lady over here, the man over here, or vice versa, whichever way. But see, God's up here. It's a love triangle. You know, God gave Eve to Adam, did he not? Adam did not go out searching, looking, didn't have this girlfriend dump her. You know, he didn't go through all that. He went to sleep, and he woke up, and there was Eve. And he said, whoa, man. Woman, see? You got it. Good. See, that's you guys got it. See, he called her woman. And listen, there was no, man, I don't think you're good enough, Eve. It wasn't like that. See, it was Adam, Eve, and God up here. And see, relationships now, we think, well, how are our kids ever going to get to know that person if they don't date and give them a little bit of space to hang out and do this? And listen, that's against the Bible. That's not God's way of doing it. It's the wrong way to do it. It's what modern day is going to tell you, to let them date. Let them go out. Let them go ride alone in the cars. Let them do this and that. Don't let them do that. Protect them with everything you have. And here's how it works. Your son or daughter's over here. Son or daughter's over here. They're serving the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord. Their hearts are in one accord to God, and they meet up here when it's time to get married. You see how I'm saying? See, if they're constantly focused on each other, they're not focused on God. And when they do decide, oh, we're just going to get married, you know the stories. Statistics today, marriage lasts about 2 years. Then it's over. And then another year down the road, you'll hear, oh, yeah, he's married again. How old is he? 25, he's on his third marriage. Folks, look, that's not God's design either. God's design is one man, one woman, one lifetime. But how are we supposed to do that if we're constantly meddling in things that we shouldn't be doing when we're teenage age? Dating. Again, can I say this? I'm against teen dating. Y'all know that by now, right? So girls, don't ever come after my boys. And boys, I dare you to come after my daughters. I dare you, okay? Don't do it. Because you're going to have to come after me first. Okay, listen. But just as there are some godly soul ties that we can have and should have, there are what we might call unhealthy soul ties. These soul ties are not right, and out of them, real problems can occur. Negative effects and even demonic attachments may be evident, which can lead to destruction in unhealthy soul ties. And can I just say this? Again, I mean, I'm a parent, and I've made mistakes with my kids, and I've let, you know, the older ones do some things that I thought might have been all right, but I promise you the younger ones will never get to do under with my permission. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all got more than one kid, two kids. I mean, I got a bunch of them. But listen, I've made some mistakes that I pray to God I'll never make again. And if we constantly let them do things that we know God said not to do, why would you let your children do something that you know is not right and expect them to stay pure? You see what I'm saying? We get all mad when they come home and they say, oh, we did this. And then we're like, you did what? Well, who let them get in that situation in the first place? Now, if they rebelled and snuck out and did their own thing, listen, you're not at fault for that. They chose to rebel. But when you encourage it, when you say, sure, you can go to the movies with your girlfriend for the night, unattended, unchaperoned. And they come home and say, well, Mom, Dad, there's something I got to tell you. And then the next story is going to be a little bit worse. And then the heartbreaking story comes out. Well, I'm pregnant. And we're like, oh, I'm going to kill that guy. But who let him do it? Why would you put your daughter in that situation in the first place? Why would you put your son in that situation in the first place? And we'll say this again. I'm against dating. And I dated. And guess what? I wish my folks would have been against dating, because it would have saved me a lot of heartache. You understand what I'm saying? I would have been able to stand at the marriage altar and give the woman that God had for me my whole heart. I would have loved to have been able to say, this is the first time I've ever done any of this. I would have loved to have the preacher's testimony from the other night, who, you know, when he messed up in his younger age, but at 16, he committed that he was never going to touch another woman again. And 4 years later, for the first time, he held his wife's hand when her daddy handed her over to him. Folks, that's what we should want for our children. Amen? That's what we should want for our children. Now, I must admit, this is the preacher talking, that I may not know all there is to know about soul ties, but I'm becoming more aware of and understanding more than I did before. I believe the subject on which I'm expounding is a needed truth in this vitally important hour. While ministering in this area of deliverance and demonic bondage, I've set out on a journey to discover truths regarding the enemy's plans and schemes. The Word of God tells us that we are not to be ignorant concerning his devices. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. And you know, I love looking Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights at all the kids that dismiss out of here going. And I think to myself, over the years of being a youth pastor and the dozens and, I mean, multiple kids that we've invested in, and I'll tell you what, the main story for a child, for a man or a woman as they become 18, 19 years old, just about 100% of the time, their reason for leaving church is they yoked up with a young lady who did not go to church, or she yoked up with a young man who did not go to church, and she said, oh, well, you don't understand. He loves me. He'll come to church if I tell him to. And pretty soon, where's she at? What kind of tragedy would it be to not see 30 kids in this church in 10 years? You know, my prayer is that the fruit remains. That's what the Bible way is, amen? Bring forth fruit and your fruit should remain. Well, listen, you know, if we'll all catch a hold of the truth of God's word and we'll encourage these little ones to do it right, we'll see their kids walk into junior church someday. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? That's my goal. I don't know about yours, but listen, if we're ignorant of God's devices, then we're never going to make it. 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So what is he saying? He says, you want Satan to be able to take advantage of you? You want him to get the upper hand on you? Be ignorant of God's devices. Read God's word and think, God doesn't know what he's talking about. Keep on doing it your way. And when Satan starts having his way with your children and your wife and your husband and your church and your home starts falling apart and you became ignorant to the devices of God, ignorant meaning you know what's right, but you're choosing not to do it. Listen, Satan's going to get the advantage every single time. Folks, God has never asked us to do anything that he has not given us very clear instruction on how to do. He's given us instruction on how we ought to act in our marriage as men, and how we ought to act in our marriage as women, and how we ought to parent our children, and how we ought to treat the church, and I mean, so on and so forth. The answers are in the Bible, but here's the deal. We struggle with submitting ourselves to God, do we not? I do. Amen? All of us do. We all struggle with, well, you don't understand it. It's my way or the highway. Folks, listen. You become ignorant of God's devices and Satan's going to have his way with you. He is out to steal, to kill, and to what, church? Destroy you. While I do not blame everything on the devil, I must inject the truth. Even though God gives us free will to make decisions, he does not overpower us to choose to bring ourselves in complete allegiance to his will. We know that when a man decides against God's will and chooses to enter something that God does not initiate, That man has opened a door. And here's the deal. You might have every intention to do things right, but if you put yourself, the Bible says to abstain from all appearance of what? Evil. So you're not even, you might not even be doing the sin. You might say, well, my flesh is strong enough, I'll be all right. I can ride with that girl in the car and I ain't going to be tempted. Well, I don't know what to tell you, pal. You're a liar. The devil just lied to you and you believed the lie of the devil. You know what you did? You unlocked the door. And as soon as she got in the door cracked open. You understand? Here comes the devil. And guess what? Door's open. Devil's like, all right, I got him alone. He thinks he can be all right. We'll see how this works. You know, what if she's lost and she tries to initiate something? Hey, we're mostly adults in here. You know, you're all right. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just being honest with us. Amen? What if she initiates something? Or better yet, ladies, what if he initiates something and your heart was to do right, but you chose to put yourself in that position, and now the devil's kicked down the door, and he's all over the situation, and pretty soon you've lost your purity. Why? Because you could control your flesh. Folks, that's a lie. You cannot control your flesh. In this flesh, the Bible says what? Dwelleth no good thing. So the Bible principle is, if I put my flesh in a position to fail, I'm probably going to what? Fail. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Listen, folks, you want to know how not to fail? Don't put yourself in a position to fail. If you struggle with something, abstain from that thing. Don't go anywhere around it. And I know there's certain things in your life that you struggle with that I might not, and I promise you there's things in my life that I'll struggle with that you won't, but I'm smart enough to realize how the devil has gotten me over and over and over and over and over again. Folks, listen, I told you before, I go anywhere near alcohol, I smell that stuff immediately. The devil's like, that sure would be good right now, wouldn't it? And my flesh says, yeah. Now, how crazy would I be to go soul winning in a bar? I mean, I know preachers that do it. And they might not be tempted by that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going in there. Amen? Because I know what I struggle with. Guys, how crazy would we be to every time we walk in a store, to, if you've struggled, if you're honest with yourself and you've struggled with sensual images in the past, how crazy would you be to walk down the magazine aisle? And you know, they might not be what we as America call nudity, but can I say, they're not dressed godly. How crazy would it be for you every time your wife's over there shopping, you just walk down that aisle like this right here? Hey, why? You're laughing. 70% of married men have admitted that they're addicted to pornography. Why? Because they can't say no to what? The flesh. And when their flesh says, well, I can deal with that. That ain't no big deal. Folks, let me tell you something. That is a lie. It's a lie from the devil. You ought to care more about yourself and your family, and you ought to care more about God than to put yourself in a position where you know you're going to fail. We know that a man decides, that when a man decides against God's will, he chooses and chooses to enter something that God does not initiate, that man has opened a door. He will come under demonic attacks from Satan. You say, what are these demonic attacks? Temptation? Everybody ever been tempted in here to do something you know you shouldn't do? That is the devil. God is not going to tempt you to do wrong. Amen? He doesn't tempt anyone to do wrong. God is the one that's saying, hey, don't go down that aisle. Hey, don't go near that liquor store. Hey, don't go smell that stuff. Hey, abstain from those kind of people. Stay away from that party. Stay away from that situation. Don't go around those people. Don't listen to those jokes. Don't laugh at that crude humor on that TV. That's God. The devil's saying, that's not a big deal. You know what I'm talking about? It's just a cuss word. But you tell your children not to talk like that. But we watch it and praise it on our television. We don't believe in adultery.
But we watch TV, and all there is on there is fornicating and adultery, and they're praising it. But we don't believe in it. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in some of their ways? Folks, all of their ways. God is always true. Let God be true, and every man a what? A liar. We must understand that God's way is always the right way. He will come under demonic attacks from Satan because Satan's desire is to monopolize on that wrong decision. You know what that means? That means he ain't going to stop with that first time. Anybody ever played Monopoly before? They play it all kinds of crazy ways now. I don't know how y'all do it, but man, you start running out of money now, you can start selling your property. Now, hey, I'll sell you this. Hey, you know that's what the devil does. See what I'm saying? Just about get to the end of yourself and the devil offers you a little bit more. Stay a little bit longer. He'll make you stay a whole lot longer than you want to stay. And he'll make you pay a whole lot more than you ever intended to pay, folks. That's the devil. Amen? He hates you. He does not like you, ladies. He hates you. He wants to monopolize on that wrong decision and set up a stronghold that will be used to later, or used later to destroy that person. You can see that in John 10:10. We must be as warriors to teach and live what Jesus said in John 4:34. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." And in Luke 22:42, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know the story. He was in the garden, and he was sweating great drops of blood, and he said, "Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." He knew that his flesh was about to partake of a whole lot of pain that he had never felt before. See, what we fail to realize is, yes, he was God, but he was 100% man, 100% God at the same time, and no different than you and me at the time, except he was sinless. He felt every single stripe. He felt every single nail. He heard every single blasphemed word. He felt all the spit that was spit into his face. He heard the mockers. He watched the people that he healed mock him and say, "Crucify him." He's seen all this stuff. He felt all the anguish. He felt every single bit of it. Why? Because we're sinners. Because we can control our flesh. Right? But in this flesh, what does the Bible say? Dwelleth no good thing. I'm so glad the Savior knew that we were going to be sinners and still said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will." Folks, wouldn't it be good if we would give our lives like that? And say, "God, you know what? I've been down that road before. And here's the crazy thing. The Bible does say you're going to reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Maybe you've already reaped some of the consequences. Remember, you can choose your choices, but you'll never be able to choose your consequences. Amen. Maybe some of you have went down that road of reaping. Maybe some of you have been on the borderline of losing your wife and your children because of sin. And the next time the devil threw that temptation at you, and you're like, "Man, there's no way I'm going down that road again. I learned my lesson the first time." But oh, how tragic it is that men just don't learn their lessons. But wouldn't it be good if the devil tempted us and we said, "You know what? Whew. My flesh desires that. But devil, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm submitted to God. And it's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will." And the spirit man said, "Hey, we just won another battle. Keep on walking, baby. Keep on walking." Amen? Amen. Curb stomp that devil every chance you get. Amen? Amen. Curb stomp him. My goal is to learn how to deal with and help people. To some, this may seem out of the box, but the scriptures teach this truth, so I must believe and practice it. And I'll tell you, the first time I heard of spiritual warfare, I was in a conference. I think I was in Seward, Alaska, at our church, and our preacher had the same preacher that's coming here next month. Brother Tom Suter came in, and I'll be honest with you, I hope he's listening right now. My first impression of this guy was like, "This guy's nuts. What is he talking about? This guy's talking about casting out demons and talking to the devil firsthand." But look, what did Jesus say to his disciples? They said, "Why can't we cast him out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your what? Unbelief." And folks, Have we very clearly not understood now that we do have the power as believers? We're Spirit-filled believers. We have the authority that God has given us to conquer this. We are more than conquerors. See, the lies of the devil is you have to live in bondage the rest of your life. Now that you've sinned, you have to be in bondage. Can I say that that's why Jesus died? Your sins have been forgiven. It's up to you to live in victory. But I'll tell you what, when I saw the results of a man that believed that through Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus, he did have power over the satanic realm, and he showed that, and I watched that, and I watched men get free, and I watched ladies get freedom, and I watched lives turn from suicidal to victory in Jesus. Listen, that's what I desire for you guys. That's what I desire for our church. That's what I desire for those little guys over there. That's what I desire for our community. That's why we're having a spiritual warfare conference. I want you to experience this stuff. I want you to understand that we are not victims, but we are more than conquerors. We are victors in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is who we are. And I fell in love with spiritual warfare, and I fell in love with helping and counseling, and I began to understand this also. I've told my past here before, and listen, I hope you never feel sorry for me about that. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because here's what the Lord's done. He's taken that experience that I had as a child and has allowed me to take that to dozens of young men across this country and help them. And help them understand that, yes, it was unfortunate what happened to you, but son, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what God did in my situation. And I've seen young man after young man helped. Young man after young man, some of them serving in churches today. Some are not. I wish I could tell you they all were, but you know they're not all going to do that. But look, I can tell you the ones that got it and got the victory and forgave, folks, it was worth it all. I wouldn't trade a minute of the heartache I had as a child. I wouldn't trade a minute of it. Not one minute of it. I love helping people. Now, as we have covered before, man is a triune three-part being. We are made up of the body, soul, and what, church? Spirit. Good. The body is the earthly tabernacle or tent that God allows us to abide in while we are here on this temporary journey. He calls the body a tent in the scriptures and shows that it is the lowest means of housing one can have. As shown before, we understand that our spirit is where the Holy Spirit abides in us. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to show you this, Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8, in verse number 7, we'll read down through verse number 16. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity, keyword or root word enemy, against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed what, church, can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? So when I'm living in my flesh, is it possible for me to please God? Absolutely not. Is it possible for a carnal-minded lost man to be subject to the law of God? Why is it not possible? Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit within him. Keep reading. This is pretty cool stuff. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the what, church? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and if you're saved, the Spirit of God does dwell in you. Amen. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? And whose righteousness is that talking about? His righteousness. Amen. Jesus. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his what? That dwelleth in you. So if God's Spirit came into me and I was a dead man, my spirit was as dead could be, what happened at the time of my salvation is he quickened me, or he made alive my spirit. And now my spirit is alive unto who? Jesus Christ. And listen, I ought to be in subject to him. Verse number 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You know what I like about that? I was reading that last night, and I read it once, And I read it again, and I read it a third time. You know what? That Bible saying right there, you don't owe your flesh a single thing. The devil's going to try to tell you, hey, you deserve it. There's going to be Jonadabs that come along and say, hey, you're the king's son. You ought to be able to have what you want. You know what Jonadab was telling Amnon? Hey, you owe your flesh that. Your flesh deserves to be happy. Please yourself. Do whatever it takes. You're the king's son. You deserve it, folks. The Bible says we don't owe our flesh nothing. But you know who we owe everything to? God the Father. Amen? We don't owe our flesh anything. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall what, church? Wow. For as many as are led by the what? Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And aren't you glad tonight that we can know that we're the children of God? You know what I'm thankful for? I said it before, but I'm so thankful that young men can come and assume that they're saved. But here's what I'm thankful for more than that. I'm thankful for a Bible that they can open up. And you know what? God's desire was not that he wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit was already working on him when he thought he was saved. That was the Holy Spirit saying, all right, man, time's coming close. And he just used a preacher and a young man over there that invited him to church to say, hey, brother, look, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Because look, it's not about the messenger. It's about the what? Message. The message. And he opens up the Bible and God's convicting spirit says, listen, son, baptism never saved anybody. Here's how you can know that you're saved. And oh, by the way, I'm not. And right then, conviction unto salvation is getting ready to happen. And we're able to open the Bible and say, look, man, this is how you do it. You got it. You took the time. I'm thankful for the character of an 18-year-old young man. I mean, not many 18-year-old boys open up their Bible anymore and care too much about that. I'm bragging on him tonight, and I'm not trying to embarrass him. But I hope my kids have character like that when they're 18. You ought to hope that your kids and grandkids have some character when they're 18 to care about their souls. Because every single one of us have a never-dying soul, amen? We're all going to live forever somewhere. I know where I'm going. I can't go to hell. And I'm thankful for that, amen? But I'm thankful for a convicting Holy Spirit of God that we can know that we are children of God. We then realize that the soul part of a man is made up of three parts: the mind, emotion, and will. The mind is the intellectual part of man, the capacity to know and think. Psalm 139:14 says, and that my soul knoweth right well. The emotions are the area in which we have the capacity to feel or experience things. Psalm 42:6 says, my soul is cast down within me. Song of Solomon 1:7 says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. In Matthew 26:38, we read, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Psalm 35:9 says, and my soul shall be joyful. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Then in Colossians 3:2, Paul commands us to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Our affections, you know what that are? That's our emotions. Amen? The proper soul is submitted to God's thoughts, found in God's word, God's emotions, setting our emotions on things above and not on things on the earth. Folks, again, I mean, we'll stress this forever here, but you're not going to watch the local news or worry about what's going on around here and be in a good mood. It's just not going to happen, okay? I mean, it's people against people down here all the time. They're warring against each other. Folks, listen, this is not our home. This is temporary. Hey, it's raining outside. This is temporary, amen? My eternal home is in heaven with the Lord. Amen. That is your eternal home if you are a child of God. You might have to wake up tomorrow and deal with this whole place for just a little while. But listen, when it's all said and done, folks, we're going to see Jesus. And I'm thankful that this is not my permanent home, aren't you? I'm so grateful for that truth. I'm so grateful for that truth. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And God's will, choosing whom we will serve, and yielding to Him ourselves as instruments of righteousness unto God. How do I do that? Well, it's simple. Every day you wake up, the first thing you ought to do is say, thank you, God, for letting me wake up. Now, what is it that you allowed me to wake up for today? Because I'm going to tell you something. When God is done with you, He's done. You understand what I'm saying? Not being crude or rude, I'm just saying. It is appointed unto man once to what? Die. And that's when God is done with you down here. Now, if you're saved, you're still going to go up there and worship and praise Him forever. So if you don't like church, you ain't going to like heaven. Y'all hear me? You fall asleep in church, you ain't going to like heaven very much. All right? I'm just giving you a heads up. I like that saying. If you don't like church, you ain't going to like heaven. Amen? You ought to love church. You ought to be looking forward to coming to church. You ought to yield yourself every single day. God, why did you choose to let me live another day on this earth? There must be a purpose. I woke up this morning, and when I went to bed last night, I had some things in my mind that I was going to go do this morning, and I woke up this morning, and immediately the Lord changed my mind. I don't know why. I didn't find out why until about 10:30 in the morning. I got a phone call. Brother Wayne's in the hospital. If you don't get up there today, you probably won't get to see him again. Folks, if I'd stuck to my plan this morning, I wouldn't have been able to break away from what I was going to go do and have time to do that. But you know what I'm thankful for? God's Spirit that can still speak to me, and He does speak to us, amen? Maybe not audibly, but listen, He does speak to you that says, hey, buddy, you don't need to do that today. There's something else. Well, what is it? Well, just don't do that today. Make some time. You know, it'd be good for all of us sometime just to make a little bit of extra time. Amen? Adjust your schedules a little bit. And I'm so thankful I did. I got to go and spend a couple of hours. I didn't tell you this earlier, but be praying for me. The daughter actually asked me, she said, you know, my daddy loved you a lot. And she said, I've been meaning to call you, but how would you like to preach his funeral? I said, well, I'd be honored to preach his funeral. I'd be happy to do that for you. And she said, well, I think he would love that. She said, we're going to discuss it as a family. And she didn't even know I was coming to the hospital today. You see how God works things out? Folks, listen, it's an open door. This family's been praying about driving from Evergreen to come to our church in Red Level. They left their church a couple years back and have been out of church for a couple years and have been watching our live stream nonstop, been praying about coming to our church. You see how God will open up doors for us? If we just say, nah, I better not do that today. God, you know, prompted me not to go do what I was going to go do. But what I was going to do was going to profit my pocketbook. Hey, what God's going to do is going to profit heaven. Y'all all right with that? That pocketbook ain't going to heaven with you. You're going to be like that lady that promised her husband she was going to bury him with all his money and wrote him a check at the end and put it in the casket. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's going to be like. The money's in her bank account. Come on now. When God tells you to do something, listen, obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Every one of them. We're almost done. But there is the carnal soul. Paul says in Romans 8:5-6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In a broad sense, godly soul ties are those formed within or around godly, submitted soul, or a God-centered mind, emotions, and will. Therefore, ungodly soul ties are those that are formed outside a godly context through a person's carnal mind, emotions, and will. Well, in 2 weeks, when we come back, we'll continue this study of soul ties. We'll get into some godly soul ties, how they exist, and then after that, we'll get into some ungodly soul ties. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to, Lord, be with all those that are on our prayer request list. God, a lot of people out. Lord, we pray for them that you'll bring them back to us. Lord, in your timing. Lord, we pray for those that are sick. Lord, those that are having surgery. Lord, this next week, I pray for Lord Kelly and Carolina. Lord, as they go in next Tuesday to get their tonsils, Lord, and their adenoids removed, Lord, pray for Miss Janet, Lord, as she gets some results back from the doctor, and pray for Aunt Anna, Lord, and they can get some answers for Uncle Lawrence. And Lord, many, many, many others, Brother B.J. Cook, Lord, I pray for his family. Lord, I can't name them all tonight, but Lord, I know that, Lord, there's many that need to be lifted up to you. You know their names, and God, I'm thankful you know my name. Lord, I ask you now to just, Lord, have your will and your way the rest of the night. Protect our families as they travel home. Thank you for bringing them out to church tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.